Today with Sarah McInerney.
Well, they were among the first to close, but as of Monday, pubs that serve food can reopen. So are they ready? And just how busy are they expecting to be? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined by Gillian Knight, who is the HR advisor for the Licensed Vintners Association, the representative body for publicans in Dublin. Gillian, good morning to you and thank you very much for joining me this morning. Can you tell me how many members, firstly, you have in the LVA and how many of them are expecting to reopen on Monday? Do we have Gillian? Can we hear Gillian? Could she hear me? Gillian, I think you might be there now.
Gillian?
No. We might try and get Gillian back up in the line. I have lots of texts, though, coming in relation to travel and whether we should go on holiday and whether we shouldn't go on holiday. Indeed, we got a contact from a spokesperson for the Irish Travel Agents Association, and they're saying that the decision to open air bridges and advise as late as this is causing more confusion, they say, than before it was announced. And they're saying that people simply do not know what to do. And as I said, lots of texts in relation to this as well. One person says that it's not just about people wanting to go on holidays. Many have family and loved ones in the UK and other countries that they haven't seen in months. And then another person says, Sarah, we've had more or less wall-to-wall hot weather and sunshine since late March, so there's no need to fly abroad this year, because our representative from Sunway Travel a little earlier in the show was making the point that it would be perhaps a more pleasant experience if you go abroad and you can sit outside and have your dinner, etc. But if the weather continues, it would be harder to make that argument. Just take a look to see. Oh, I think we have Gillian back on the line. Gillian, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now, sorry.
Great. No, you're all right. I was wondering, in relation to the Licensed Vintners Association, then how many members you actually have in the association and how many are expecting to reopen on Monday?
So we have 550 members currently, and we did a survey and 43% said that they'd hope to open early. The protocols weren't released then, so we're not exactly sure, but we would have a sound estimate of around 250 that will open.
Okay, so, and I understand that Fáilte Ireland have provided online training for the pubs that are opening on Monday. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So we received this yesterday, so it's still new, and the employees have to complete it before they start work. Basically, it's an online module. Fáilte Ireland worked with us. We had a task force and we worked together in designing this training. It takes around 40 minutes. It's very thorough. They have to actually have completed 20 questions and they have to be correct in one go. I did it myself, the course, and, you know, by the end of it, you will know the regulations for health and safety. There's no way around it.
So in terms of then the actual opening when it comes to Monday, what are your members telling you about how they feel about it? Are they prepared for it?
I think that, you know, publicans are used to doing their job, and their job is to create a welcome and try and convince people to stay as long as possible. And now they've been asked to convince people to stay for 105 minutes, so that will be a challenge. But they're not ones to shy away from a challenge, and anything that they're faced with, they can change and be dynamic when it needs to be. So what I suppose Fáilte Ireland did a survey, and they came back and said customers were anxious and excited, and I think the publicans are the same. But they've been doing up the pubs, they've been deep cleaning, disinfecting, training staff, setting up protocols and in advance of the Fáilte. So they're ready. If they weren't ready, they don't have to open on Monday. So those that will open feel they're ready and are confident that they're ready.
And do you think there's any argument, Gillian, that they shouldn't open from a public health perspective? I know in the UK, even though they've opened in lots of different areas of their society, Dominic Raab, one of the ministers there, has said that they're not opening the pubs because they're fraught with all sorts of particular risks. And they are, really, aren't they? Of all the venues that we could go to, pubs are perhaps the riskiest.
I think that it's, I suppose, any risk is a calculated risk. So it depends on your protocols, what you set up. And anyone that does open knows the risks and they're willing to take them head on. So I think that, you know, publicans are used to dealing with people who are drinking alcohol. So there's no difference to dealing with an unruly person on a regular day than it is with COVID. So naturally, they can't allow people to gather together. So it might be actually easier for them when people are actually asked to be seated and expected to be seated.
Okay.
So it's easier to actually make demands now than it would have been in normal times.
In terms of the demand then, and whether or not people are willing to take that risk, do we know anything about bookings?
I think that, you know, one of our members, there was an article this morning, the Eden, they've been booked out. I mean, there's great demand. Our publicans are in your community. They're walking into the shops and the publicans are telling me that their locals are saying, please open for the last 3 months. So I think there is a great demand. I think the demand may be bigger than what the surveys are coming back, because the publicans themselves have been told there's high demand, but naturally the tourism is going to be heavily affected. So there's no denying it, that was primarily tourists is going to be heavily hit.
And maybe you could clear up how you expect it to work practically, or what advice is being given to members on a couple of things. So, for example, the substantial meal costing at least €9. Do we know, will everybody at a table have to order a meal, or could they order one and share?
No, so each person who's drinking alcohol has to have a meal. So if you're not drinking alcohol, you don't. So naturally, a child doesn't have to have a large meal. If you're drinking minerals, teas, coffees, you don't. So only if you're drinking alcohol.
Okay, and what about, is it one meal, or could you order €4.50 starters?
They said that it's a grey area as such, but if the meals, if two starters would be a main meal in essence, that two that come to €9 would be allowed as long as the one person is consuming them.
What about staff then and wearing masks? How will that be handled?
So there's no protocol that they have to wear masks. So if an employee wishes to wear a mask, the employer has to make them available to them. So they don't have to wear masks. So it's up to the employee. Some employers might say they all wear masks. It would be unusual in hospitality for people to, you know, wear masks as such. People like to see a smile and welcome, etc. But if any employees, which many of whom may be high risk or live with a high risk person and would rather wear a mask, they have to make them available for them, and they can wear them no problem.
And can you understand that again from a public health perspective, Gillian, if we're being told it's mandatory to wear a mask on a bus where everybody's sitting down and socially distanced? Why isn't it mandatory to wear a mask in a pub where the staff are coming to a table and coming closer to you than perhaps you would get in terms of contact on a bus or a train? That it wouldn't be mandatory to wear a mask, especially for the staff?
I suppose, I mean, if you're sitting in a pub, we are sitting with the people that you came in with, that you've already determined that you're comfortable with, and you have a social distance between that and the next table, and the server will be at a distance from you. They're not going to be on top of you. They'll be at a distance from you taking your order. So they won't be near you, whereas if I get on a bus...
What about when they're giving you your food?
So when they're handing their food, there's no contamination between COVID through food. So if someone's carrying out your food and bringing it to a table, they can't contaminate you by carrying the food to your table.
No, sorry. What I mean is, if you have a waitress carrying a plate of food, not wearing a mask, in order to hand you the plate of food, they have to come within, you know, there's no 1 metre distancing on that, is there? In order to put it down on the table, to pour the wine, to do whatever it is that waitresses normally or waiters normally do in a restaurant, they come close to you, they have to.
I think that they say that you should be, the risk is when you're near someone for longer than 15 minutes. So some seconds that you're doing a transaction like that wouldn't be a risk. If you're on a bus, I could be on a bus from Glasnevin to the city centre. I could be on a bus for 2 hours at rush hour. So there's a big difference between me on a bus where I'm stuck beside someone or near someone in an enclosed space, than I'm actually doing a transaction that's less than 15 minutes, but really less than probably 15 seconds.
Okay, we have a text in from one of our listeners about the toilets then, and what happens if there's too many people queuing up for the toilet and there's not enough room for social distancing.
I mean, every premises that opens has to have a toilet schedule, so they have to have a system in place to ensure that there isn't a queue that is, you know, unnecessary, i.e. that people are less than 2 metres apart for the toilet queues. And they have to have enough seats in the place that people are not going to be in a situation where piles of them are queuing up for the toilet. You're going to be in a situation in which the capacity would be less than 50% in the majority of places now with these new regulations. And the toilets were set up for 100% capacity. So there should be plenty ample toilets for everyone in use. A lot of the function rooms now aren't in use because there's no function. So we've got extra toilets as well in a lot of premises that weren't in use before.
All right. Well, it's not uncomplicated, so it'll be interesting to see how it all goes next week. But thank you very much for joining me today, Gillian Knight, HR Advisor for the Licensed Vintners Association.